This is The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. Fort Miles has long been a former military installation turned museum, seeking to explore the history of the defense of Delaware's coast and the role of Fort Miles during the Cold War that followed. The Fort Miles Historical Association continues that work with the 2025-2026 season of its lecture series. The five-part series will primarily focus on the Cold War era and how Fort Miles played a role in it. In this edition of History Matters, Israel Hale is joined by Fort Miles Historical Association historian Ed Patterline, who's managing the lecture series, to learn more about the series and what it will cover.
Can you tell me more about the decision-making process behind choosing these particular speakers?
Well, every year we do a lecture series. We've done that for the last 3 years at least now. And for the 2025-2026 season, we chose for the topics to be focused on post-World War II era, because Fort Miles was a fort in World War II for a period of about 5 years. But it actually has a 50-year history with the military. Its role post-war is arguably more important than its role during World War II. There was a lot of work done at Fort Miles because it was nearby Washington and Baltimore. And several of the key research facilities for defense were in that area during World War II and post-war, and they would do testing at Fort Miles. In addition to that, of course, Fort Miles was a coastal defense installation to protect the Delaware Bay from any enemy shipping. Post-war, we also had a role as a part of the defense, the missile defense for the United States, and for tracking Soviet submarines off the coast of the United States, to name just a few.
And this series is going to open October 18th, it looks like, with Dr. Christopher Bright. He's a professor of history at the Georgetown University, and he's offering a review of the Continental Defense System that you just mentioned that was in place during the Eisenhower years, including, I believe, a radar defense post. So Fort Miles was home to one of these radar defense posts.
That is right. We were called a gap radar station. Our job was to worry about any Soviet aircraft coming in low over the waves, trying to avoid the main radar sites.
And can you tell us a little bit about the history of that radar post as well, of like how did it come to lay at Fort Miles?
Well, we already had radar at Fort Miles at the end of World War II. Once the military decided that coastal defense artillery was no longer the way to defend the coast, and that the main threat was going to be aircraft and missiles, you needed a different approach. And they decided that that approach would be via surface-to-air missiles, the Nike Zeus program. And that was built up in the end of the 40s and into the 50s. For that, they needed radar. They used what they already had along the coast. There were already radar stations along the coast, so they knitted them together into a network. The key was that you needed a way to define who was going to go after what target, because you had all of these radar posts along the coast of the United States, plus in Canada, watching for Russian missiles coming over the pole. And the key was to know, well, who's going to pay attention to what, and what site is going to lock on to what target, so that you don't all shoot at the same thing and leave 10 other missiles coming at your cities. And that was called the Missile Master Program. And the Missile Master Program for our area was in Maryland. That was where Missile Masters was set up, and we were one of the posts for that Missile Master Program.
Aside from the ones coming up, there's also, looks like, three other lectures in 2026. Are there any of those that you're particularly looking forward to?
Well, I'm particularly looking forward to the Berlin Airlift First Victory of the Cold War, because that's mine. I'm presenting it, and my father served in it. So I'm looking forward to that one. The other one, which is post-war, is Fort Miles as the Eastern Range, which was where they did the testing of a number of defense systems, one of which was the first surface-to-air missile system for the Navy, was tested at Fort Miles on the Eastern Range. And Caitlin Dykes, who is the DENRAC Interpretive Programs Manager for Cape Henlopen State Park, will be the speaker for that. And then the last one actually takes us back to World War II. And Harry Wynn, who is one of our members, will be talking about the role of the 8-inch railway guns at Fort Miles during World War II, how they operated, why they were there, when they left, that sort of thing.
And you said that, what is that like, you presenting something that is actually a piece of history that directly affected your family? What's that like?
Well, for the most part, it will be about the Berlin airlift itself and not about my father's role in it. But I certainly will mention it as part of it. And certainly it had an impact on our family because my mother is German. He married her, met her over there and married her over there. And so I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Berlin airlift. So yes, it's certainly a key part of my life. It's certainly, to me, it's an exciting topic because of the fact that it was the first victory in the Cold War for the United States. And it was an excellent example of how you can use soft power to win a military victory or to try to slow down your adversaries in terms of their expansion. And we were able to do that with the Soviets, with the Berlin airlift. And there was no heavy-duty military involved in the sense of bombers or fighter aircraft. This was an airlift of food to a city that was starving. Beyond that, you have the Airlift Mobility Command Museum at Dover. And Dover was one of the key air bases that sent airplanes over for the Berlin airlift.
We spoke a little bit earlier about its relevance to World War II and post-World War II, which will be the subject of these lectures. What are some places at Fort Miles where people can take in some of the things that they'll hear about at these lectures, some places that people can see or visit?
Most of it is not visible anymore, other than if you know what you're looking at. I mean, the Biden Center was the NAVFAC Lewis, for the Naval Facility Lewis. If you go to Herring Point, the fact that you've got a little bunker there that's exposed with no sand over top of it, that was because that bunker was turned from a World War II bunker into a tracking facility bunker, and a large several-story structure was put in front of it, was built in front of it on the pad that is still there. So if you know what you're looking at, you can see, you know, pieces of history in the park. If you go to Hawk's Watch in Cape Henlopen State Park, that was actually a World War II 6-inch battery of two guns that was turned into a SOSIS tracking facility building after World War II as well. So
Are there any other projects or events that the museum people should know about or ways to engage with Fort Miles to understand the history there?
Well, of course, you can come visit the museum. It is no longer in seven, it was running 7 days a week during the summer, but that's now down to Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And that will go down even further once we get closer to Thanksgiving. It'll drop to weekend only. And then it'll shut down for the deep winter months from about Thanksgiving on until about April. Well, every April, we have Delaware Defense Day, the day in which we bring back reenactors who reenact the 261st Coastal Artillery and their role in Fort Miles. They actually stay in the barracks at the fort. The barracks are open. We have food trucks in. We normally bring a vehicle or two in, like a tank from World War II, something like that. for people to see. People reenact both civilians and military from that time period. And there's a number of events that go on, some lectures and such. And of course, the museum itself is open.
And you mentioned that that website as well. Where can people who want to visit find more information if they have questions about Fort Miles or the lecture series?
FortMilesMuseum.org. And if you go there, there's a tab for events, and you can see all the events that are at the Fort Miles Museum. You can register for them. And for all of these lectures, the lectures themselves are free. They're always at 10 a.m. on Saturdays, but there is a requirement that you register so that we manage the seating. Seating is up to 140 people, but we can't go beyond that at the Officers Club.
Thanks to Fort Miles Historical Association historian Ed Patterline and our Israel Hale for showing us why history matters this week. And The Green continues in a moment with Art's Playlist, where we meet the ensemble that's bringing the music and the instruments of the Renaissance to Wilmington. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.